Development. And I think we will start by opening a work session on Senate Bill 222. And Janet, if you could remind us of this bill and the amendment that we have before us based on our testimony.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill was heard on January 17th. It's a Department of Transportation bill to bring Oregon into compliance with the federal safety law legislation that passed in 2005. That federal legislation preempted state registration programs and state insurance requirements for interstate motor carriers. And federal law instead created a base state system called the Unified Carrier Registration Agreement for registration of interstate trucks. So this bill again brings us into compliance. Mainly it allows the department to enter into agreements with other jurisdictions for registration and insurance verification for trucks that operate interstate. It deletes a requirement that trucks operating in Oregon that are based elsewhere file their proof of liability insurance here. And it deletes a requirement about carrying receipts or passes on the vehicle. The amendments, the Dash 1 amendments, add an emergency clause, so the bill will be effective on passage if the amendments are adopted. Authorizes ODOT to adopt rules to implement provisions in two separate statutes, and does rewrite the provision to simplify and clarify the requirements for interstate carriers that operate in Oregon. The Trucking Association and other interested parties have seen the amendments, and we do not have the fiscal impact statement at this time. It is a new program. There will be operating an upfront cost that will be recouped, and there is a net revenue gain from the bill, according to the department.
Good. Mr. Gregg, would you like to come up, or who wants to testify on this, on the amendment? Anybody? Just the thumb. Okay. Okay. Anyway, it's the right part to push up. We're in work session, and with a Dash 1 amendment before us.
I move the Dash 1 amendment, Senate Chair Minister.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 222. It is Thursday. Any discussion? Senator Monsanto.
I have a question. When we deleted then the department, this is on page 1 of the amendment, line 17, it says that the department shall issue a permit to the carrier without a hearing. And so they don't need to get permits?
Well, I think you have to come up anyway.
Nice try.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Greg Delpani, ODOT's Motor Carrier Division Administrator. Chairman Metzger, Senator Monis Anderson. The permit that has been struck here had to do with the registration of a U.S. DOT-issued interstate operating authority with the state of Oregon. The way the statutes presently read, an interstate motor carrier applies to U.S. DOT, gets their interstate operating authority, then under current law, they come to me, they show me that they got that, and then, as a matter of course, without any other analysis, in a perfunctory manner, I issue them another State of Oregon version of that interstate operating authority. All the safety lou has done is said, that's duplicative, don't do that anymore.
You're becoming more efficient.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well done. Any other discussion? Okay, so we have the Dash 1 before us. It's been moved by Senator Starr. Any objection? Order.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 222 as amended to Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 222 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Objection? Order. And Senator Starr, why don't you carry that one?
Great.
It's going to be interesting to see how these things all kind of end up in the queue once we finally get this stuff.
In the stack.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now we will move slowly as we wait for the sheets to come forward, a public hearing on Senate Bill 255. And Janet, why don't you give us the overview of this one?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 255 was introduced by the Senate Interim Judiciary Committee and it modifies provisions that related to a liability insurer's responsibilities to another insurer for reimbursement in the case of personal injury protection benefits being paid out. It specifies that if a lien or a recovery method other than a direct reimbursement takes place, the insurer incurs their appropriate share of fees and expenses in recovering benefits. Mr. Chair, the direct reimbursement would not require this this fee or attorney fee appropriation, but the other two or other several kinds of methods for recovering and getting reimbursement would require the payment of appropriate fees. Thank you.
Thank you. You might remember we've had these issues before, and as I was mentioned outside in the hallway, this is kind of a deja vu for the committee because, you know, we've got the same folks here, and they're back, and we're glad. Steve, Neil, Brian, you want to come forward? Yeah. You got three chairs, got three signees. It's be efficient here. And I'll... Thank you. I've just been reminded that I carried this bill on the floor last time, so Janet, nothing escapes her. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Neil Jackson. I'm a member of the Board of Governors of the Oregon Trial Lawyers. What we're trying to address here, again, we tried to address it last session, we're trying to make it very clear that when and you get in a situation, you buy PIP coverage, which pays your medical bills, your own carrier pays it. Without fault, without any of those issues, you're obligated to pay it, and you paid the premium for that. What happens sometimes is, in addition to that, if you're hit by someone else and it's their fault, their company is going to have to pay those to you, and you have to reimburse your own company. The way it's set up right now is the insurance company, my insurance company, is supposed to make an election of how they want to collect that money back. Sometimes some of the carriers say, we're not going to tell you how we're going to collect that money back. They sit back. Then you have to go forward. You've got to recover it anyway because you have to protect your own carrier under the law. And then they come forward, stick their hand out and say, give us the money, and no, we're not paying anything that it cost to collect it. This bill simply says they need to make the election, decide how they want to collect it. If they don't collect it directly from the other company, if they go through the injured party's attorney and make that attorney collect it for them, they have to pay a fee. That's what it does.
I'll just mention, this is a very interesting sign-up sheet. I'd like to kind of frame this one. They're kind of everybody's for and against the same bill. But that's because there's some amendments, and so I'll turn to Steve next, and then you might also be able to explain some of the things that we need to still do to the bill.
Yeah, Chair Mester, Steve Merle for State Farm Insurance. This bill, as you mentioned, is left over from last session. It was one that we basically ran out of time on. When it came out, it was in that time of the session where things are frantically coming out of legislative council, and what Neil and I got was not what either one of us expected. It has substantial...
Happens to you, too?
It happens all the time. And so we have talked, and we think we have a very simple amendment that will clean this up, mm-hmm. make it a much shorter bill, and do what both of us think it does, and maybe not disturb some of the language in it that has been disturbed that is understood both by trial lawyers and insurers today. So we have the clarity when we want without creating additional confusion.
Well, just because we do have people at home, maybe, yeah. watching, could you, in layman's language, just give us a little synopsis of where the lack of clarity is in the bill?
Sure. Basically, Oregon has personal injury protection coverage that's mandated on all automobile insurance policies. That's commonly referred to as PIP. In 1973, the legislature decided that everybody should have it, and that's continued on to this day. The three sections of the PIP statute that are dealt with in this bill involve recovering the payment of PIP payments by a carrier who pays them. The idea being is that Oregon recognized very early on that this coverage becomes affordable when the wrongdoer still has to pay for the medical bills eventually, but how he pays for it is your carrier pays for your bills as you incur them. Then at the end of the time when you're done treating, your carrier goes and recovers that money back from the wrongdoer. That then offsets against your PIP coverage costs. It's a tension that's kept that coverage affordable for over 30 years now. There are three methods that the legislature said we could recover. The first one is 742.534, which is direct reimbursement. if American Family, who's the other gentleman on the Senate table, if their insured is responsible for the accident, State Farm pays under the PIP coverage, we'll go back to American Family, insurer to insurer, and get the money back. If we have disagreements, we'll arbitrate that dispute between us within the company with an industry arbitration forum that we'll do it within. The other methods are 536, which is where the insurance company can assert a lien on a settlement when a suit is involved, and 538, which is a general subrogation method that allows you to recover the money. Those three methods, the direct reimbursement is the only time under current law that you don't incur an attorney fee for the recovery. If it's under the 742, 536, or 538, and Mr. Jackson's client, he goes ahead and prosecutes a claim for recovery, we share proportionately in the attorney fee that he charges his client. There has been some confusion in the PIP law by amendments of other sections that have given some carriers cause to lock onto language that says there's some method outside these three methods to recover. I don't believe that that's accurate, but what the amendment that we're after will do is will clarify that, no, you have these three methods, and in method number one, there's no attorney fee, but in methods two and three, you will share proportionally attorney's fees.
Okay. Thank you for that clarity. You want to press right?
Just real quick, proportionally between the two insurance companies, though,
Chair Messenger, Senator Starr, it's actually what is proportionally between is Mr. Jackson charges his client a fee for the entire transaction. For our portion of the transaction, we'll pay that same fee for the money he recovers that belongs to us.
I see.
So it's a sharing of the fee. It creates kind of a common fund in those two cases where we share the fee that Mr. Jackson earns.
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Brian
Mr. Scott.
I'm Senior Staff Counsel from American Family Insurance in Portland, Oregon. And we're in favor of the bill as along with the amendments that Mr. Jackson and Mr. Morrell have been discussing. So, most of these PIP recoveries between carriers are handled through intercompany arbitration between carriers. So.
Thank you very much. And as a point of clarity, we have a pretty good understanding of that language so we can get the amendment quickly and we can move that for you this time and not get caught up at the end.
Chair Metzger, I have a draft that I just shared with Mr. Jackson before the hearing that he does what he needs to have it do. And I forgot
Mr. Scott.
Mr. Scott seemed to be in agreement with, too, where we could provide that link.
So we'll work with Janet here. We'll get that in as soon as possible, and I appreciate that, and we'll expedite this through because we have heard this before, and I appreciate you bringing it back. So with that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 255 and await amendment, and then we have one more bill, Senate Bill 256, and I have a funny feeling because no one's moving that it's the same trio. So, welcome again. Janet, I'll start with Janet to explain the bill first.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 256, also at the request of the Senate Judiciary Committee, would specify that requirements for auto liability arbitration proceedings, unless the parties agree otherwise, would go through the process of a three-person arbitration panel, and that the resulting findings and awards would be binding to both parties to the dispute. It also requires proceedings to be conducted under local rules of county courts. Most, but not all, insurance companies use this arbitration and three-person arbitration panel, but there's no state requirement that it be used. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And as you remember, members, this is another one we had last time as well. So, again, kick us off.
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman Neil Jackson for the Owners and Trial Lawyers Association. This bill, as you stated, Mr. Chairman, we had it last time. There's additional work that we need to do, but we've made an agreement outside before this hearing about what it is that we need to do. But to clarify that, one of the situations that will be exempt from the requirement for a three-panel would be PIP arbitrations. And the reason that we think that they should be exempt is because, generally speaking, when you have a dispute between an insured and their own insurance company over PIP, the amounts are relatively small. I mean, the minimum PIP that you have to carry in Oregon is $15,000. When you're talking about that kind of money, quite frankly, as a practical matter, you probably don't want a three-panel. You'd like to get it done faster. If you've got to coordinate five attorney schedules, you're looking 6 to 8 months down the road before you can get a relatively small amount decided. And so we've agreed that it is appropriate that PIP be exempt from the requirement for the three-panel arbitration. One of the important things in this bill, and it's particularly important in the smaller cases, is that the requirement that's been added to require that the arbitrations be conducted under the local trial court rules. And here's the reason that's important. Local trial court rules include, among other things, requirements that in arbitration you don't have to bring your doctor in live. You can submit a written report from your doctor, which can cost $200-$300, but you don't have to bring them in live. That's important in small cases because if you have to bring them in live, and I've had this happen to me a couple of times, we're spending $2,500, $3,500 for 25 minutes of testimony from a doctor. You can't afford to process the smaller claims if you've got to spend that kind of money. By the insertion of the local trial court rules in this bill, it will make it clear that you cannot be forced to bring the doctor in to pay that kind of money because that, frankly, I've had it done to me, and that's a lot of leverage. There are cases that you just can't do if you've got to bring that doctor in and pay him to testify live. So that's another portion of this.
Sir?
Yes, go ahead.
Regarding that, then, if you do need a medical opinion, you're saying a written testimony or?
I'm saying if you choose to, you can submit a written report by your treating doctor, and that serves as the doctor's testimony. You can still, it doesn't prevent you from bringing that doctor in if you want to. And on the larger cases, you would want to bring the doctor in. You would want to have their live testimony. But in the smaller cases, you simply can't afford to do it.
Thank you.
And this allows the choice to be made. And then one other thing this does, it makes it clear there was a decision that came down before the last session, the Barrockman decision. And from our side of the table, it was a particularly egregious decision. This one provision of the bill that we're proposing would say that these decisions in the PIP arbitrations are not binding for purposes of any later litigation that might occur. They would be binding between the carrier and their insured. But if the insured has a liability claim out there pending against a bad driver who smashed into him, whatever the decision that is made in the PIP arbitration in this context could not be used by the bad driver in the subsequent litigation that might occur.
Okay. Thank you. Steve.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, Steve Merle for State Farm Insurance again. This is a bill we worked on last time, and I think Neil has done a credible job of explaining what it does and why it does it. One of the things, just to kind of expand a little bit on the Barrockman decision, is that applying the preclusive effect of the PIP arbitration to that person's claim against the bad driver in court resulted in her not being able to claim any damages. It basically wiped out that right. It's not uncommon in various types of arbitration to have provisions in there that the results of the arbitration are not admissible in other proceedings. And so this kind of takes that concept that exists in other types of arbitration and incorporates it into our statute here. Last session, one of the things that I was concerned about with this bill, and we've talked about this beforehand, I think that Neil and I have an agreement on how to solve that concern, is he is wanting this bill so that in cases where he needs three arbitrators, he can have them because it makes sense process-wise, but also allows to agree on one arbitrator when it's appropriate. If you're not careful, what could happen is the trial bar could start to leverage the insurance industry just like they're being leveraged on the doctor coming to testify by demanding three arbitrators in all small cases. And you wouldn't tell if that's going to happen until we do it. And what I'm proposing, and I propose Neil that we do, is we stick our toe in the water with this one and say, let's do it. But let's include in the bill a sunset 4 years from the time the bill becomes effective so that if there is a case for abuse, then we can deal with that in contesting any removal of the sunset. But in the meantime, we'll see if it develops, and if we all can play well together, it won't be necessary.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. Mr. Scott.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, I'm Brian Scott, Staff Counsel for American Family Insurance, and I originally came with prepared written remarks opposing SB 256 for what Neil just expressed as the reason that it needs to be changed to make for a single arbitrator in the PIP setting and three arbitrators in the other first-party insurance claim setting. So with that change or that proviso, a single arbitrator in the PIP arbitration setting, we don't have any opposition to it as amended.
So we were looking at that change, and then would you be in agreement on putting a sunset in to make sure everybody does play well together?
4 years. We would be agreeable, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Yes,
question,
Mr. Chairman.
Question from the committee. Senator George, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. It's been a long day so far.
I bet it has been. You've had done it twice, right, this day?
Yes, I'm like I'm on hour, I don't know, about 30 right now. Anyway, would it be possible, I know that you were going to submit your testimony, and it looks like you're not going to. Just for background, could I get a copy of the testimony so I understood context,
sure.
If I could, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, please. Thank
just
you.
So I just so I can read what your problems with the current status. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, other questions? All right. Committee, on the sunset provision, is that comfortable with folks to give this a trial run?
Good idea.
Yeah, right. Okay, so what we'll do is expedite this with the other amendment so we can bring these back and send you all on your way. And we appreciate, again, working together and doing good things. And at the end of the day, hopefully these will help the insureds, you know, collect a little bit more of the percentage of whatever, you know, they need for their injuries and other. And I appreciate both sides of the issue working to streamline that process. So we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 256 and await those amendments. Sure. We have no other business except for Senator George. You want to stay? Are you here? Are you leaving?
I don't.
Okay. What I'd like to do is reopen Senate Bill 222. Ask for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow members who were not here at the time that we voted on 222 to participate in a vote. Any objection? Okay, sir. We have Senate Bill 222 before us, and I believe Senator Deckert and Senator George were not here. Is that correct?
Right.
Senator Deckert, how do you vote on Senate Bill 222? Senator Deckert votes aye. Senator George, how do you vote on Senate Bill 222?
Aye.
So please record them as ayes. So with that, again, the bill passes unanimously, and we are back. Janet explained on Monday, and things are going to start cooking up. So... appreciate your due diligence, and we'll still try to keep the committee moving as quickly as possible so it won't unduly take time. Business.